In today's news headlines, Donald Trump's personal lawyer, William S. Consovoy, has said that the president is so far above the law that he could shoot someone and not be prosecuted. Consovoy made the outrageous claim while asking the Second Circuit Court of Appeals to block a subpoena for Trump's financial records as part of an investigation into hush money payments made to women that Trump allegedly had affairs with before the 2016 election. One of the three judges on the court, Denny Chen, invoked Trump's own claim made ahead of the election that he could, quote, stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and not, quote, lose any voters. Judge Chin asked, quote, local authorities couldn't investigate. They couldn't do anything about it. Nothing could be done. That is your position? Mr. Consovoy's response was, that is correct. In news from the impeachment inquiry against Trump, Republican Senator and ardent Trump backer Lindsey Graham says he is introducing a Senate resolution condemning the Democrat-led House impeachment inquiry. This despite the fact that the Senate has no power to stop the inquiry, given that the constitutional authority to introduce articles of impeachment against presidents lies with the House of Representatives. On Wednesday, House Republicans delayed a closed-door deposition of a Pentagon official named Laura Cooper for 5 hours, staging an angry occupation of the room where the deposition was to be conducted. Representative Matt Gaetz, a Trump loyalist, led the action of more than two dozen GOP lawmakers. They contended that Republicans were being shut out of the process, even though Republican members of the three House committees conducting the inquiry were fully participating in the process. Bloomberg reports that Trump knew of the Republican action to block Cooper's testimony in advance. Democratic Representative Benny Thompson, chair of the House Homeland Security Committee, wrote a letter to the sergeant at arms demanding that the Republicans be warned of the, quote, unprecedented breach of security they engaged in. And Associated Press is reporting, based on sources in Ukraine's government, that then-President-elect Volodymyr Zelensky was worried months before the infamous phone call with Trump about Rudy Giuliani's demand that he investigate Trump rival Joe Biden. Meanwhile, not much has emerged from Laura Cooper's deposition, which began later on Wednesday afternoon. According to CNN, once Cooper's testimony began, she provided a very technical readout of how foreign aid is dispersed, according to lawmakers. Several lawmakers say her testimony helped show that the Ukraine aid deviated from that normal process. Cooper, who was issued a subpoena in the same manner as State Department officials who have testified, did not give an opening statement. A new survey has honed in on the precise American demographic that Trump and Republicans are claiming allegiance to. The Public Religion Research Institute found that a whopping 99% of Republican white evangelical Protestants oppose Trump's impeachment and removal from office. In the midst of the political whirlwind of impeachment, Trump visited the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on Wednesday to address a forum on fracking. Protesters descended outside the event as Trump gave a rambling speech for about an hour, defending his administration's undoing of environmental regulations. Inside the event, Trump inexplicably raised the idea to build a wall in Colorado.
And we're building a wall in Colorado. We're building a beautiful wall. A big one that really works, that you can't get over, you can't get under.
Pittsburgh was the location of the worst massacre of Jews in U.S. history when a gunman entered a synagogue and killed 11 people last year. One woman spoke about it on Wednesday in front of protesters.
In the face of violence at the border, Pittsburgh's Jewish community joined Jews around the country in demanding fair and safe immigration processes. And we're all just getting started. President Trump, we are here for all of us, and there is no place for your division and your hatred in this community that we are building together.
That's a protester in Pittsburgh on Wednesday outside an event that Trump was speaking at. Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg addressed the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday about his plans to launch a new digital currency called Libra. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez grilled Zuckerberg during the hearing.
Can you explain why you've named the Daily Caller, a publication well-documented with ties to white supremacists, as an official fact-checker for Facebook?
Congresswoman, sure. We actually don't appoint the independent fact checkers. They go through an independent organization called the Independent Fact Checking Network that has a rigorous standard for who they allow to serve as a fact checker.
So you would say that white supremacist tied publications meet a rigorous standard for fact checking? Thank you.
That's Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez questioning Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg on Wednesday. She continued to press him on paid ads that make false claims, which Facebook profits off of.
Could I run ads targeting Republicans in primaries saying that they voted for the Green New Deal?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Would I be able to run advertisements on Facebook targeting Republicans in primaries saying that they voted for the Green New Deal? I mean, if you're not fact-checking political advertisements, I'm just trying to understand the bounds here. What's fair game?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I think
so
probably,
you don't know if I'll be able to do that.
I think probably.
Do you see a potential problem here with a complete lack of fact-checking on political advertisements?
Well, Congresswoman, I think lying is bad, and I think if you were to run an ad that had a lie, that would be bad. That's different from it being, in our position, the right thing to do to prevent your constituents or people in an election from seeing that you had lied.
Wildfires are once more plaguing Northern California as the Kincade Fire in Sonoma County has expanded to 10,000 acres overnight. Pacific Gas and Electric, or PG&E, has once more cut power to Californians, throwing them into darkness, meant to prevent more fires. This time, the power outages are impacting 500,000 households. Meanwhile, the Trump administration has filed a lawsuit against the state over its cap-and-trade agreement with Canada. The basis of the lawsuit against California is that only the federal government, according to Trump, is allowed to sign off on such agreements. California lawmakers countered that the suit was a political attack against the state's efforts to reduce carbon emissions. In foreign policy, Defense Secretary Mark Esper chastised Turkey for its, quote, unwarranted attack on northern Syria, despite the fact that President Trump appears to have greenlit the invasion with a pullout of U.S. troops. Esper is due to meet Turkey's defense minister on Thursday. Now, Al Jazeera is reporting that in addition to Turkey, Russia has emerged victorious from Trump's actions and that Russian police have entered the Kurdish enclave of Kobani as part of an agreement with Turkey. Despite the fact that Trump declared a ceasefire in northern Syria as being permanent, there are reports that Turkish forces have attacked several villages, causing thousands of people to be displaced from their homes. In Bangladesh, 16 people have been sentenced to death in the killing of a 19-year-old woman named Nusrat Jahan Rafi. Rafi had accused a school teacher of sexual harassment, and after she refused to withdraw her complaint, she was horrifically burned to death. And finally, in Britain, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said that he will give parliamentarians more time to debate his Brexit deal with the European Union, but only if they agree on a general election to take place December 12th. And that does it for our news headlines today.